Okay, can I have a couple people help me with the communion, and we'll... It's one thing, we're going to talk about this today in our service, but it's important to understand where you stand. You know, because of Jesus, we stand on no cursed ground. See, there was a curse that was released on this earth, but in Him, we stand on no cursed ground. And the curse has no legal right to attack you. One thing that God gave us was the communion. And He gave us this for our well-being. He's so smart, He knows how to take care of us. He knows how we're made, because He made us. And He knows how to fix us. But we have to understand that the devil has not given up on trying to create new ways and figure out ways to attack us. And He keeps on twisting the blessing. This right here hasn't changed since the day that God has created it. He told us how to make this bread. He told us how to discern the body of Christ. And He told us why. When we look at this bread, we see that in this bread has been made without yeast. Jesus' body was perfectly sinless and is perfectly sinless. Yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. And this bread has been beaten flat. Jesus' body was beaten and bruised for us. And this bread has stripes in it. And it's by His stripes that we were healed. And this bread has been pierced. Jesus' body was pierced, not only on the cross, but in His hands, and in His feet, and in His scalp. And everywhere He shed blood, we get some redemption for us in that area. At some point, you're going to have the opportunity to go into a Catholic church. Whether it be for a funeral or a wedding or whatever the reason may be, I want you to go to the wall. And you'll find the Stations of the Cross on that wall. And go there and pray those prayers. Go look at these different places that Jesus shed His blood. And go pray those prayers. Don't pray to Mary, but pray. There's a prayer just above that. You pray. Pray that. And this bread has been broken. And if you look, this bread has been slightly burned. And Jesus took the full wrath of God's fiery judgment on His body. The judgment that was meant for us, He took it for Him. Took it on Himself to set us free and place us on no cursed ground. We thank You for this. We're taking it for our healing and well-being. That blood of Jesus is the most powerful substance that mankind has ever known. More powerful than any atomic bomb that has ever been made. The blood of Jesus is still alive. It's still pliable. And the blood of Jesus is still doing what it set out to do 2,000 years ago. It's washing away our sins. It's protecting us and it's blessing us. And it's because of this blood of Jesus that we can go boldly into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in the time of need. And we thank you for this, Father, in Jesus' name. Open your Bibles up to Luke chapter 24. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. They found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. He is risen. He is alive. And because of that, when God raised Jesus back to life, you got justified freely by His grace. It's important for us to identify ourselves with Christ. The Bible explains to us how we were in Christ during His crucifixion. And we were with Christ when God raised Him back to life. That's important to understand. See, if we're seated with Him in Christ at the right hand of God in heavenly places, and we were with Him through His resurrection, we were with Him. He took our place. Now turn to Romans chapter 10, verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, Say not in thy heart, Who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. And that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew in the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's important for us to understand. We believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth. That's how the word of faith works. But in order for us to believe something in our heart, it's got to get there. So we have to hear the word of faith being preached. We have to read the word of faith. Now here's the important thing about the Bible. Is we need to believe what we read and not read what we believe. That's a trap that some have fallen into. There's some people that won't even read the book of Acts. And it's got too much workings of the Holy Spirit in there. True story. I seen a guy one time, he got to the book of Acts and he just stopped. He's preaching. And I thought, why isn't he going to? And I kept waiting for him and he said, I'm just not going to preach out of the book of Acts. But this was the big booming church in that particular village at that time. Literally, there were thousands of people going there. And I thought, what in the world is going on here? And I asked my friend, I asked him, what about this church over here? And he thought, they used to go to church with us. He was Second Baptist. He said, and then they just got mad and they left and started their own club. I thought, oh, okay. They're still Baptist. But that's okay. They had their following going. But he was reading what he believed. It's important to take what you believe and put it on the table. Lay it out bare. Open the Bible and match up what you believe with the Bible. And if what you have been believing on doesn't match up with the Bible, get rid of it. We've come up with a culture that has put more faith in the doctrine of man than in the doctrine of Christ. Paul said, don't preach any other gospel than that what he delivered. He said, even if an angel comes and tells you a different gospel, don't touch it. Preach only the gospel that he laid out for you. The gospel of Christ is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That is the very foundation of absolutely everything. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If what you believe does not take you straight to the cross, stop. If it ever boils down to you and your efforts and your good works, you've wandered off the path of the gospel. It's got to be Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 tells us that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. You don't have to turn there. We're going to be right back in Romans again. But Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 tells us that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That's very important to remember. The curse seems to be in overdrive in this nation. Have you noticed? There is a lot of things going on in this nation that are just not in line with the Bible. And the sad part of it is a lot of the church world has seemed to have embraced it or accepted it or saying, this is just part of the flow, and maybe we don't need to stand up to it. No, we need to stand up to it at every turn. There's no reason for anybody in a church to ever think that it's okay to have an abortion. That's the curse. There's no reason for anybody in the church to ever think that it's okay to have a gay pastor. That's just not in line with the Bible. It's just not. We need to understand what the blessing is and what the curse is. Every once in a while, you should go back and read the Deuteronomy blessings that God laid out to Abraham. How you're blessed in the city, you're blessed in the field, you're the head and not the tail, you're above only, not beneath. You're blessed in the city, you're blessed in the country, you're blessed coming in, you're blessed going out. How God causes you to prosper. How He blesses the work of your hands. How He opens up His good treasures, the rain, the heavens, and pours out the rain on you, your land in good time. How He increases the flocks of your field, your flocks of your sheep, your cattle. And then read the curse part every once in a while, just so you can be familiar with it. Don't spend a lot of time in it, but be familiar with it. And then go open up to John chapter 10, verse 10. Where Jesus explained it to us perfectly. He said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The thief is the one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It's important to understand this because God gets blamed for stealing, killing, and destroying all the time. Preachers blame Him for it. They try to make somebody feel better. Somebody lost a baby, or somebody lost their spouse, or something horrible happened. And then this preacher will try to say, well, God needed another angel in heaven. That is so far from the truth. The thief got in and did a bad work. God received your loved one, and now everything is good, but He didn't become an angel. That would be a demotion. Verse 14 says, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I just had to stop there for a second. I thought, if you ever seen my feet, my toenail's missing, my toenail's broken, my toenail's bent. They're not real pretty, but God says they're beautiful. But He says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. Now, in that verse that says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, the correct translation of that is faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christos, the words of Christ. See, that's different. The Old Testament, the law of God, the Ten Commandments, that is the Word of God, is it not? And it is perfect. But you could read the law every day, and that won't build faith in your heart. Actually, it will build fear and condemnation in you. But the Bible tells us that if you read the words of Christ, that is different. That's when you will build faith in your heart. Now you can understand what happened with the two men on the road to Emmaus. They were walking along and they were sad. All of a sudden, Jesus showed up there and said, "What's going on?" They said, "Well, they crucified our Lord." And then he started talking to them, but he kept himself concealed. And then they suddenly had a heavy revy, you might call it. They had a rhema word. All of a sudden, the word of Christ struck their heart, and they realized who it was that was walking, and he disappeared. And they said, "This guy, when he was talking to us, our hearts were on fire." They felt it. They felt the words of Christ in their heart. It was building faith in them. That's what happens when you get into the New Testament and you read what Christ did in his death, burial, and resurrection. When you start seeing what Jesus did to you by grace. When you start seeing who he is in you and who you are in him. What he did in all his death, burial, and resurrection, to start tying all these New Testament, new creation realities together, and they start hitting your heart, you're going to have faith happen. You know, faith is kind of like a fruit. People are always trying to make faith happen. Have you ever been frustrated trying to make faith happen? Pretty sure all of us have been in that. We try to make faith happen. But faith is going to happen through a fellowship with Jesus, and it's going to be effortless. And it's going to be his faith flowing through your heart into your circumstances. When Jesus sees you, when you see Jesus in his grace, that means you're seeing the things that he did to you, things that he's doing through you, things that he did for you, all these things that happened to you when you got born again. When you see Jesus in his grace, that's going to cause faith to happen in your heart. And then you'll realize that whatever circumstance, whatever curse, part of the curse that you may be looking at, you're going to realize that Jesus is your ark and that your life is hid in him, and that you're going to be able to face whatever challenge that is effortlessly. Because it's going to be his faith and not yours. Remember, Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. An interesting thing about the ark, Noah's Ark. For 40 days and nights, it rained so hard that the whole world perished except for Noah and those who were with him in the ark. At the end of 150 days, on the 17th day of the seventh month, the ark rested on the mountains of Ararat. Have you ever wondered how come Mount Ararat in Hebrew, Ararat means the curse is reversed. The curse is reversed. Huh? The waters of judgment receded, causing the ark to rest on the mountains of Ararat, on new ground where the curse is reversed. And it happened on the 17th day of the seventh month, on the feast of first fruits. The exact date that Jesus rose from the dead 4,000 years later. God is cool. He does really big things. It seems like he does really, really big things every 2,000 years. You know, I don't know exactly where we are on this calendar of events that we're on right now, but we keep saying that Jesus died on the cross for our sins 2,000 years ago. There's evidently a 6,000 year period to this millennial reign that we keep looking forward to. I don't know if you've noticed that there's some major events in the atmosphere, there's some major events in the earth, there's some major events in the heavens, there's major things happening right now. There's so many things happening right now, I can't even keep track of them. One interesting thing, maybe Pete knows something about this, is that the poles have been shifting. Not by inches, but by miles. Have you heard anything on that, Pete? Yeah, the magnetic poles are shifting. He's my space guy. he knows about the poles shifting. These major events in our world are not happening by accident. They're not happening by circumstance. They're happening on purpose. We are destined for a specific day and time. We were created for this specific day and time. You know, there's nobody else that can fill your shoes. You were created for this specific moment. Our job is to see how many people we can witness to and get born again. That's important. Also, the thing is, we need to be aware of what's going on around us, and because there's going to be some people that are going to wake up and they're going to say, "What is going on?" They're going to need some answers. And unfortunately, we got a really big majority of the church world that's just sitting there waiting for everything to return to normal. Here's a newsflash for you. We're not going to go back to normal. It's not going to happen. I don't know exactly how everything's going to happen, but this thing is going to be dramatically different. It's going to be dramatically glorious. So just get ready. But you have to understand what kind of ground you set on. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. You were buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. See, when you get born again, you get baptized into the body of Christ. That means your life is swallowed up in him. You're in him and everything is in him. And the Bible tells us that we need to go get water baptized, which means you literally get buried. That's what baptism means. Get dunked. You get dunked. You get buried, and then you come back up, and your old man stays gone. It actually cuts you away from your enemies. You know, one really good picture of baptism was when the children of Israel walked through the Dead Sea. You know, the Dead Sea parted. And they walked through on dry ground. They came up the other side. Their enemies came into that place too. But when they came up on the other side, the waters crashed in on their enemies, and their enemies could not follow them back, could not follow them any farther. They got cut away from their enemies. I thought it was really interesting. I was reading about an evangelist, a missionary that would go over to Africa and preach at these meetings and places. And he said there was these witch doctors all over the place. He said he could preach in a meeting and get people born again all day long. He said these witch doctors, didn't matter to them. They didn't care one way or another. But he said, when I started water baptizing people, said them witch doctors went absolutely crazy. And it was because of this. He said, they didn't care if somebody got born again. They could still manipulate them. They still could work on them. But he said, when they took that first obedience to Jesus and got water baptized, they were actually cutting ties with them and stepping away. And there was some more protection between them and their enemies. They didn't like that. They didn't like somebody to take a step of obedience towards Jesus. Then they were taking a step of faith. Each time you take a step of faith, when you get a revelation of God and what He did, and you take that next step, and you take another step and another step, you distance yourself from your enemies. That's good news, isn't it? See, I got beautiful feet. Now we, who are in Christ, who is our true ark, stand on resurrection ground where the curse is reversed, where diseases, poverty, failures have no right to operate. As a believer, you are no longer on cursed ground. You stand in the blessing zone, where it is very easy for God's blessing to reign all over you. You've been removed from the kingdom of darkness. The Bible tells us that you got translated from the kingdom of darkness, where Satan owned you, where he ruled and reigned over you. God translated you from that over into the kingdom of His dear Son, placed you into the dispensation of grace where you can receive His blessings. You can receive His healings. You can receive His strength. You can receive His peace. You can receive whatever it is you need. Now remember, whenever there's something wrong, always remember this. Whenever there's something wrong, it's because there has been something right that has been put in place first. Think about that. God created Adam and Eve in the garden and blessed them. He gave them the blessing first. Satan came in and usurped that blessing from Adam. And since Satan has never, ever been able to create anything, all he can do is twist and manipulate and, you know, counterfeit. So he took the blessing and twisted it into the curse. See, when God set this thing in order, in order, he created faith. Satan twisted faith and turned it into fear. God created love. Satan twisted it and turned it into hate. God created peace. Satan twisted it and turned it into discord. God created health. Satan twisted it and turned it into sickness. God created prosperity. Satan twisted it and turned it into poverty. The way out of all of that is in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, where it says, "For you know the grace of your Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might be made rich." At the cross, everything has been met. Your healing, your peace, your deliverance, your prosperity, your protection. At the cross, salvation was met. Not just being born again. Now, praise God. If you're born again, praise God. You're not going to hell. You're going to heaven. That's good news. But salvation is so much more than just being born again. It seems like that's what the focus has been on, was just being born again. But the focus should be on salvation. You know, when God would talk to a Hebrew about salvation, they get this great big picture in their mind of what salvation means. And it takes us something like 28, 29 English words to describe salvation. So do you think we got it all covered in the King James Version? Which some people say, that's the only Bible you should ever preach from, brother. No, man. Not even the woman's Bible can get it covered. You know what that Bible is? The Amplified Bible? That's what they call the woman's Bible. It just goes on and on and on. The Amplified Bible is a really, really good translation because it will break some of these words down and describe them. And I don't have enough patience to read it that often. But if I need to expand it and really open up a verse, it's a cool translation. It's really, really neat, and it's informative, and you can really learn a lot in that Bible. But it shows you some of these things. But not even the Amplified Bible gets the word salvation covered. That's such a big word. It's important for the church to stop preaching just be born again. We need to preach salvation. That's the gospel. The gospel is not just being born again. The gospel, you know, Paul preached the gospel to a man and the guy got healed. Have you noticed that? When the gospel would preach, people would get set free. They get healed. They would get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They would get all kinds of different things, not just born again. See why it's so important to believe what you read, not just read what you believe? You know, the Bible says that he would have salvation in his wings. Now, if it was just being born again, it would have said you'd be born again when he got under his wings. He said he had salvation in his wings. Absolutely everything that a man needs is wrapped up in Jesus. When you run to him, everything you need is wrapped up in him. The more you learn of him, the more of his blessings are going to flow through you. But it's got to be in him. That means you're going to have to go to Jesus Christ and him crucified. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for your word. We praise you. We praise you for the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. That sacrifice, that perfect sacrifice that paid our debt in full, that perfect sacrifice that meets every single one of our needs. And that shed blood of Jesus that causes you to see us as perfect in Christ. Even though we may not see ourselves as perfect, you see your perfect sacrifice in your Son. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have fruit pizza. Well, I guess it's a thing. And coffee. Come on back and fellowship.